From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for joining with us for today's program. In just a few minutes, you'll be hearing a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns concludes part one of a two-part message entitled, Christ, the Friend of Sinners. Without question, the Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save sinners. However, in dealing with souls, he was always direct and honest, as a true friend ever is. Dr. Cairns has been detailing seven warnings which Christ gave in these chapters of Luke, cautions which one who wishes to hear the Master's commendation must not ignore. The final caution is to Christians, individual and corporate, and is a warning against powerlessness. Before the message, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to report that the British government sponsors an interfaith group.
Here's a report that has some common sense and a lot of ominous signs undergirding the events it covers. I'm quoting, "The Archbishop of Canterbury recently joined the Community Secretary, Hazel Bleers, for the launch of a government consultation supporting interfaith dialogue among Britain's faith communities. Dr. Williams and over 200 representatives from a cross-section of church, interfaith, and community organizations joined Mrs. Bleers and Cohesion Minister Parmjit Dande for the start of the face-to-face and side-by-side consultation. The consultation will look at the interfaith work currently underway in Britain and will recommend ways the government can support these initiatives in order to foster integration and social cohesion within the community. It comes in response to the report Our Shared Future, published by the Commission on Integration and Cohesion, published last June, which acknowledged the role faith groups play in reducing ethnic and social tensions. The Community Secretary said, "Faith groups are a key part of the way we respond to the challenges we face, from building strong, resilient communities to tackling antisocial behaviour." The consultation, which runs through March 2008, provides us with an opportunity to find out how government can best support dialogue between faith groups and the circumstances in which interfaith activity is helping to make a positive difference, Mrs. Bleers said. "By learning how we can all better work in partnership with each other to increase interfaith dialogue and social action, we can ensure that this activity results in tangible and positive change within local communities in terms of increased cohesion, greater community empowerment, and resilience to extremism in all its forms," the minister said. Close the report. Now, one can understand that it's necessary for the government of any country with a multicultural population to have leaders from each section of the community sit down and discuss how to avoid potentially deadly confrontations. But there's something very, very sinister when a socialist government sets up a religious gathering of all sorts of religious leaders with a mandate to find ways to remove misunderstandings and other causes of intercultural tension. Inevitably, there would be a call for the cessation of Christian missionary work among other religious groups. Though Britain's communal troubles have never been the result of Christian witnessing, some years ago at the World Council of Churches, it was proposed that there'd be a moratorium in Christian missionary activity in Africa, thankfully ignored by Bible believers. It's to be feared that if it suits the secular government's agenda to placate irate ethnic or religious minorities, particularly the Muslim minority, it will use the power ceded to it to get involved in interfaith work to crack down on any form of vibrant Christianity. It's a big mistake to establish a godless government as the broker among varying faiths, and especially as it will work on the assumption that Christianity, to which Britain owes its very existence, is just another of those faiths. This will be a story to watch in 2008.
Let the lowered light be burning, brightly beams our Father's mercy, from his light out evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the light of all ashore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rest, you may say.
Dark the night, lost in has settled, loudly they bells roar.
Eager eyes are watching, longing for the light of all ashore, on ashore. Trim your people, now, my brother, some poor sailor in tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Oh, let the lower light be burning, send a gleam across the way. Facing struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may say, yes, you may say.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. In addition, there will be reports on what the Lord is doing on two interesting mission fields, that of Liberia, as well as what he's doing in the land of Nepal. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
So if you're going to trust in Christ, there's a denying of the flesh. There's a cost involved. And at the end of the chapter, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Salt is good. Why? Because true faith always combats corruption. How do you know whether you've got faith in Christ or whether you don't? The devil would tell you, if you still sin, you don't have faith. If you still feel, you don't have faith. And that would mean nobody has faith. Which is obviously, from God's word, a lie. But those who have faith in Christ have something within them that fights the natural corruption of the flesh. It says with Isaiah, when he feels his sin, woe is me. Not, man, it's good to be saved, now let's go and live like the devil. That sort of attitude is the attitude of a hypocrite. Years and years ago in Belfast, I stood talking to a fellow, and he said, I'm saved. I had no reason at that time to dispute it. I later did come to dispute it. But I remember one day he said, I'm saved. What's more, I'm reformed. Idiot. He was deformed. Wasn't a reformed bone in his body. There wasn't a bit of truth in his soul. He was just an old, unconverted, hypocritical liar. Says, I'm elect from the foundation of the world. I'm among the predestinated of God. Forgetting that those who are predestinated to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm justified. I can do anything but go to hell. And he did anything. He was immoral, filthy, vile, vicious, and it never cost him a thought. Now let me tell you, my friend. You say you have faith. One of the essential actions of faith in Christ is that it will always combat corruption. So that when you're genuinely saved, sin is an intruder. Sin is a usurper. Sin is that which certainly is there, but oh, it grieves the heart. And if you're genuinely saved, there is a desire in your soul. If God would just give me the desire of my heart, it would be perfectly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be without sin. But the man who has false profession is happy to have a fire insurance from hell, but nothing to put a brake on his lusts. So the Lord Jesus warns. And he warns against powerlessness. The latter part of verse 34 and into verse 35. If the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? If God's people lose the grace to combat corruption in the life and society round about them, where's that savoury saltiness going to come from? Christians are what hold back the judgment of God from America. I want you to understand that. The salt is in God's people. There is a power in true Christianity out of all proportion to the numerical strength of the people who profess the name of Christ. There's an effectiveness that God has put into his people. But if they lose that power, what's going to happen to the people that should be affected by them. And second, what's going to happen to them and their testimony in the world. You know, the strange thing, maybe it's not strange at all, it just appears strange to our own puny little minds at times. People so often make the mistake of thinking, in order to be an effective witness to the world, I've got to be as like it as possible. Never works. Never works. The people who are the most effective witnesses the world has ever seen have been the most unlike the world to whom they witness. I'm not talking about being strange for the sake of being strange. I'm not talking of just trying to look like something that's dropped in from Mars. But I'm talking about somebody who is living in holy separation unto God. Somebody who is living in the joyous experience of a living Savior. Those are the people who have an effective witness in the world. And I'm going to tell you something. If you tell me you're a Christian and you're not willing to act as salt, you just want to go with the crowd, you want to be as accepted as you can with the crowd, that same crowd will be the ones that will take you and your so-called testimony and throw it out and say it's fit for nothing. Because let me tell you what I've found, what the Bible teaches. But I've found this in my own life. When the chips are down, when life is getting very tough, when you need real answers to awful questions, when you need real help from the living Word of the living God, through someone who can actually do more than mouth pious platitudes, people don't go looking for the hypocrite who toddled through life with them, stirring up as little opposition to his Christianity as possible. They go looking for somebody who knows God. Again and again, I have found people who have come to say, "We want you to help me. I want you to help me. I could bring you to people I'd never seen in my life before. Why do you not go to your own minister? My own minister is no use to me in a time of trouble." Well, why do you sit under his ministry every week then? I saw it as a young fella working in, and I've mentioned this again and again, but it's a scene that will never leave me while I have memory left. I remember it as a young fellow before I came in to study for the ministry, working in an office in Belfast, vowing before God, "I will, by your grace, live in this place as a Christian. I will witness as a Christian. I will stand as a Christian." By the grace of God, weak but helped, I did that. The young lady who was my, secretary, that's really crazy. She knew more than I did. I was there to do a little and she did the most. She was saved and she's now in heaven as a result of God's grace through that witness. I've often mentioned another young woman. Everybody knew her. The women hated her. Well, many of them. Because she was the most beautiful girl, not only in our office, but in any office around about. She was a poster girl for what's a very common thing now, but then it wasn't. A health spa or gymnasium. Athletes would go there. came over, you can look like she looks if only you'll come to our gym. She was their poster girl, a girl of wonderful beauty, but a girl who hated God. Somewhere or other had been injured through her experience of church life, and she hated God. I would speak to them all as God would give opportunity. I remember that day speaking to her, and she was interested. For it wasn't God that had injured her, it was some hypocrisy in the cathedral church in Lisburn. As I was witnessing to her, and she was answering, and she was asking questions, and she was showing an interest, another young man, a director's son, who had an absolutely futile, childish, but nonetheless really felt romantic interest in this beautiful girl, tried to chime in the conversation to support what I was saying. Get on the bandwagon. It's then that you saw the tigress in operation. She turned on him and spat the words, "You're nothing but a dirty little hypocrite." And it's people like you who have people like me the way we are. And all the filthy yarns are going around, your head is among the rest, and you're listening and you're talking like all the rest of them. But when he comes to talk religion to me, then you want to talk religion too. That young man would have told you he was a Christian. I don't think he was, mind you. But he would have told you he was a Christian. Let me tell you, that seared its way into my mind, and I want to leave it with you. There's a warning against powerlessness. That's for every Christian here, and it's for this church. We exist to no purpose unless we exist to live in the power of God and exercise a salte. That is a gracious ministry that is used by the Spirit of God to convict, to combat corruption, and to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our calling. I trust the Lord will find us faithful to it. We have 2/3 of the way to go as far as the outline goes, and we may get there in due course. But let me leave you with that statement again. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Here is the friend of sinners warning from the shadow of Calvary. Let us take his words to heart and act upon them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.